This week, Venezuela's government ordered the U.S. Embassy in Caracas to come up with a plan within the next 2 weeks to cut staff by more than 80%. The government also barred Americans from entering the country without a visa. It's the latest diplomatic flare-up between the government of President Nicolas Maduro and the United States. And with us now to talk about it, via Skype from Caracas, is Brian Ellsworth, senior correspondent for Reuters. Brian, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks.
Well, what brought about these changes?
It's largely been the result of recent accusations by Venezuela that the United States is seeking to promote a coup against Maduro. The United States denies this, but there's obviously diplomatic implications for those type of accusations. And yes, of course, this has gone back a long way. The two countries have not gotten along great since 2002. There was a coup against former President Hugo Chavez. The Bush administration provided tacit support for that coup, then backtracked when Chavez was quickly restored to power. So relations have not for a long time been particularly good.
But what's the significance of asking for a reduction in diplomatic staff in the country?
The U.S. Embassy, particularly among supporters of the government, has been seen as basically a place of conspiracy. Obviously, there's a long history of United States supporting military governments and backing in one way or another efforts to remove leftist governments. So there is certainly history there. And in general, among sort of rank and file government supporters, many would see that as a place where the CIA is active or where people are seeking to undermine the government in one way or another. Of course, the United States denies these accusations, and a lot of folks would believe that they are intentionally exaggerated for political effect. But when they talk about reducing staff, in part, they say, why does the United States have such a large diplomatic presence here when we have a relatively small diplomatic presence there? I think there's a lot of political undertones to it. So it plays well to a domestic audience, and that's probably in part why they're doing that.
And what about the new restrictions for ordinary people? Americans who want to travel to Venezuela are going to have to apply for a visa and pay a fee, which, by the way, Americans have to do already in countries like Brazil,
yes,
which many other people from other countries don't have to do.
Yes, that's true. We're not entirely sure why that happened and why they chose to do that. What they said is that they had detained a group of people that were accused of espionage. These, we believe, were four missionaries from North Dakota who were involved in a health operation along the coast of Venezuela. They denied having any involvement in it. They left the country. And those two things happened at the same time. They may have been on tourist visas, which perhaps spurred the government to make this decision about requiring that people apply for tourist visas. I don't think it would make it more likely that Americans would travel to Venezuela,
right,
but I don't think it's a particularly common destination at this point, just because people have security concerns and there are just other places that your average tourist would probably be more likely to go to, perhaps Aruba or Trinidad.
Well, Brian Ellsworth, give us a sense of what it's like there in Venezuela, because we know, for example, that there has been rampant inflation that has created this entire black market for people to get the money they need to buy ordinary things.
Yes, this is a controlled economy, and it's been that way for more than 10 years now, controlled in the sense that there are a lot of government controls on prices, exchange rates, and many of the corporations that distribute basic goods are owned by the state. It functioned relatively well when oil prices were high. Now that oil prices are low, it's getting a lot harder to maintain that structure. So what we're seeing are considerable number of product shortages, which generally rotate between different things. You'll see some days you won't find wheat flour, corn flour, then a couple weeks go by and other things are missing, things like dish soap, toilet paper, detergent. These kinds of things end up being difficult to find, so they become commodities. So people buy and sell them in informal transactions that you wouldn't see in a place like the United States, because people would simply buy them at the supermarket. Dollars have taken on sort of the same significance. They are obviously a way of saving and protecting yourself against inflation. So people do buy and sell them on black markets, and it makes it difficult for people who need to import goods or services or who need to travel.
So given all of that, how are people feeling in Venezuela? Is the Maduro government likely to last for a while, or?
The Maduro government was elected in 2013. His term expires in 2019. The next potential moment that he could be removed by election would be a recall referendum, which wouldn't be able to happen until 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And there's always talk of coups and military intervention. Most people who look at it closely don't think that's likely, simply because the armed forces are, most of them, I would say, support the government, and I think the remainder don't want to be involved in politics, and they understand that coups these days are not particularly well seen around the world, and I don't think they are interested in being at the head of a military government that would be seen as illegitimate.
That's Brian Ellsworth, who's the senior correspondent for Reuters in Caracas, Venezuela. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.